Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
Welcome back, revolutionaries.
Feeling near as faded as my
dream. Well, you know, along this campaign and this season, we've had some serious discussions about, you know, what's happening and where we are. And that's what this is. It's not something that I think we take lightly. And you were talking about, you know, that the party has to be rebuilt and all of that. So to clarify, who are you voting for here for president this year?
Well, I plan on voting for Harris. Now, that doesn't mean I particularly like some of the things, but there's no indication that she would be a threat to the Constitution like Trump is.
And that's where I kind of think, you know,
again, I want to emphasize this. It's separate. The presidential is separate and distinct from all the other races.
Yeah,
well, U.S. Senate.
Yeah, you have friends that are
House,
running.
The state Senate, state assembly, et cetera.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people, especially some of these new people, they don't know what they're getting into yet. You know, once they, you know, they're on a path of a steep learning curve.
So
the question is, you know, will they stand up to basic principles that were given to them by their parents? And you know, the people of their individual districts, and sometimes you got to take on the party.
Yes.
And this is one of those moments.
You've done that.
And, you know, back. I done it when I thought it was very important, like the lame duck thing. Okay. You got a new governor.
Yep.
It's like, okay, he won. Yes. I supported Walker. I didn't want him to continue to not be governor. And then there was this lame duck thing that took away various powers away from the new governor. That's wrong.
That's wrong. Yep.
As an example, you know, the whole mess with Foxconn, that was, and you know, there's some examples.
Yeah.
But I would argue I've been the strictest budget guy there.
I would agree.
And I'm glad that hopefully there's somebody that will take that up as time goes by, because you got to balance the budget legitimately.
I worry about, you know, you've been in the party for so long. I ran the county party, and I worry about, I mean, even when I was in the party, you know, in the early 2000s, mid 2000s.
You're still a young guy. Amazing.
I know. But like,
how did I get older?
We had big conversations. We had big, you know, we couldn't summarize our positions in a 30-second soundbite because we had to talk about it. And now you have people that are running for office that will put this Trump guy's name above their own on their yard signs. It's all about that. And so where I get nervous about our party is what happens next when for the last however many years, it hasn't been the Republican Party, it's been the Trump Party. And the only way to get in office is to say, hey, Trump likes me. And that's dangerous.
Well, I think you should represent your district.
Yes.
I think that whoever gets elected in these various races, find out if they don't represent the principles of the people that elected them, they won't be there very long.
I would hope not.
It means you got to do extensive networking. No, but I think that, and you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, because, you know, I knew that the former president was wrong about the election, and that always was very irritating when he would continually say that at rallies, that the election was stolen, and it's like, and I'd always think, where's the proof? But the big picture that really came to me in like recent days in the last week is thinking about fascism in World War II and members of my own family that fought the fascists, both Japan and Germany, and all the guys that are buried all over the place of this country in Arlington. And then you've got Trump saying nice things about Hitler.
Yeah, right, right.
And sucking up to Putin. It's like, no, he's clearly our enemy, Putin. A living enemy, and we have to show the courage that the people in the World War II era had. And I'm sure they were afraid.
Yeah.
So I became less concerned about the blowback and the threats that are going to be inevitable toward me when I started thinking about all the family members that they were just teenager, late teens, or maybe 20, and went off to war. Wow.
Yeah.
In, you know, and two Trump generations ago, and it's like,
right.
I thought if members of my family and all sorts of friends that have served in the military could do with it, I can certainly take the blowback and the threats that are going to be inevitable toward me for coming out today and talking about the need to protect the Constitution and really our way of life going forward, yeah. and separating away some of the issues that may not go right, but let's get back to rebuilding the Republican Party the way it once was. Mm-hmm. And I look at this current, what's happening now is a perversion of the founding fathers. Can you imagine what they went through? And they built this incredible constitution that has, I think, helped build a great nation. It's a great nation. It's not a nation that has to be, we just have to continue being great. The founding father, George Washington, on and on, all those incredible people. And are we going to diverge from that? I certainly hope not. So, you know, I'm no hero for coming out like this.
No, but it is a courageous thing.
But there's plenty of people that have also talked about this. So I'm joining them. Mm-hmm. I'm not leading the pack by a metaphor for Green Bay. I'm not, you know, leading the way on. There's a bunch of others, and I probably should have done this sooner. But there was concern, you know, about blowback and public safety and all that. So I'm going to be ready for that, and I really think it's this is the most important, one of the most important things I've done, and hopefully people will accept that and listen to me. Those that have trusted me and, you know, believed in me, will think about that. And if they're undecided, that we have to make a change here. And Trump has to be defeated, and we have to protect the Constitution, and the country will go on, even with some liberal things that Harris might do or may not do. So,
but at least the country will remain.
You have to have the foundation of the Constitution and protect democracy. If you don't have that, we will disappear.
So if people are undecided, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to think hard about this, and, you know, Google the Constitution, Google democracy, and read about it, and think about all the incredible people that have sacrificed to keep it over the generations. And you know, appreciate that. And it's another thing, you know, you've got the former president disses many of the people that have made those sacrifices. I can't accept that.
No.
Because I've known, I mean, being involved in politics as long as I have, I mean, I go to tons of veterans events, and I've met many, many people, and I've gone to many funerals of, you know, the guys that have, there's a lot of damaged bodies, people that have sacrificed.
Their stories
are
remarkable.
Their mental serenity, they're still struggling mentally, many of them, and all sorts of physical damage. We can't forget that. They did that for the country.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with the country and the principles of the Constitution, and I know there'll be blowback, but others have experienced a lot more stress as far as these things than I have, and I'm part of the effort to preserve what's so important for our nation.
I also did watch a crowd of thousands of people applaud someone for having the courage to say what you just did. So there might be some blowback, but I do think that this is an act of courage. This is a selfless act of patriotism above partisanship. I believe that. And I know you believe that. And I think everything that you have sacrificed for, because I mean, being an elected official, that is a sacrifice. It is.
Yeah.
You don't get paid a ton, you know, and it's a tough schedule. But everything that you have worked for was working to keep this country on the right path. And there's really only one choice in November.
Right. You know, whenever you get elected, you get your oath of office, and there's usually a Supreme Court justice that swears you in. Mm-hmm. And you swear allegiance to the state constitution and the federal constitution. So help me God.
Yeah.
And in conversations I've had with several retired legislators that are good buddies of mine, we all agreed, we never actually thought that we would have to do that. We always thought that there'd be skirmishes and debates over, you know, thousands of different issues.
Yeah.
But never actually have to defend the actual Constitution at the federal level.
Yeah.
Being a state legislator. Well, I am doing it now. So this is my adherence to that oath of office that I took 9 different times over my career for 4-year terms. So, again, I'm very grateful for the time I've had, and you know, in the last few months of service, I'm going to do the best to serve the people. But it's important for me to talk about this today, and the importance of the Constitution over party.
Yeah, it is important, and it's. It's kind of a surreal thing, you know. I've gotten blowback for some of my positions, and it's interesting. I talk to guys. I've met some great people through this whole process too. I got to talk to Michael Steele and Adam Kinzinger, and I got to know them. And it's not like you change a ton of your positions. I mean, I still believe that you have to be fiscally conservative. I do have a social conscience about things like marriage equality and women's rights, but. I've always thought that way, but there always used to be a place for someone like me in the Republican Party.
It's harder now.
There's not. Right. Because
well, we hope that there should be.
There should be in the future.
There should be a place.
Yes. And what's interesting.
Don't give it up. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm abandoning.
No. And do you know what's really.
I still plan on voting on the down ticket people.
One of the things.
As Republicans and plan on being active as much as. You know, sort of a retired person could be. I won't be as, you know, incredibly active as I was, but I'm going to be active, and I'm going to contribute to people that I like, that I think could make a difference.
Right.
So, you move on. And said earlier, it's like there will be a process, I hope, to rebuild the party into principles that the party had. And that's, I mean, I think of my parents, they were really, especially my mother, really big Republicans. Yes. But because they believed in the country and they thought the Republican Party was the closest thing, the values of the Republican Party were the closest things to propel their concern about the country as a whole.
Yeah.
And what's happened under this guy is that it's moved away from that. Not having a platform, you know, and the various things we talked about earlier in the interview. So it's got to change. Or I think the country's in trouble.
I agree with you. And one of the things that I think was interesting is when I got to meet with Vice President Harris, she said to me and to Charlie Sykes and to Mangold, and she said in front of Liz Cheney, one of her goals is to help rebuild the Republican Party because she says a two-party system is critical to our country. And that meant a lot to hear. And I want to thank you for having the courage to say the hard thing, because I know it's hard. And I think people here will appreciate hearing what you had to say. And it's nice that you have the space to do it.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the time to
absolutely
sort of lay this out, because it's not just, hey, I'm against this guy because no, there's it's a process.
It took a lot. Yeah. So. I thank you very much for your time, and I'm looking forward to your next step in the journey here, buddy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to reinvent myself.
There you
Mark.
Go. Rob
Thanks Cole's for having
here
me
on the
on,
Restful
Mark.
Revolution. Thank you.
I was playing soft while Bobby's